Chronicles chapter 28. And I want you to notice something today that really spoke to my heart as I was reading this past week. And it's about a king and about what he did and what God did to him. The Bible says that the last version, he slept with his fathers. That means he died. God allowed him to do something and he overdid it. A lot of times God wants us to do something, and when it comes to the work of the Lord, we come up shy. But if it's something that the world wants and something that the devil wants, people tend to overdo it. And I saw something that really touched my heart, and I want you to see it today in the Word of God. The Bible says here in chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign or to rule, and he ruled 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. So you see, the things that he's doing, it's not pleasing to the Lord. Now, the application in our lives, I say, what is it today that I'm doing that's not pleasing to the Lord? And so the Bible says he did all this. He made molten images. He's worshiping idols and worshiping the things of the world. And he sacrificed and burned incense. But we notice here, wherefore the Lord, his God, delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. And so you find here that Ahaz, he goes, and the Bible says that he was delivered into the hand of the king of Syria. They carried him away. They brought him to Damascus, and the Bible says he was delivered into the king of Israel. Well, what is he? The Bible says that he was going to win over Judah. The Bible tells us, and two things you need to realize. After Rehoboam came on the scene, the Bible says that the kingdom was divided. They had two kings, they had two people, two tribes, then they also had 10. So it was divided. It went into Judah and Israel. And so they began to have conflict between the tribes of Israel. But the Bible says he delivered into the king of Israel. So Ahaz was Israel. The Bible says, and who smote him with a great slaughter. And Pekah the son of Remaliah slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Now, think about this. The reason the people were getting in trouble, and it's always through the Bible, everywhere you look in the Old Testament, that the people did two things. They forsook God, and they forgot him. And someone asked me this a few days ago, said, how could people really forget God? Well, look at the things that are happening today. The people, they know there is a God, and they use his name, but they don't believe there is one that will hold them accountable, and they can get by with anything. Anything goes, and they can do whatever they want to do. And so the Bible said, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers, that's the reason they were taken into captivity. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son, Azricam, the governor of the house, and Elkanah that was next to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. Notice what Israel did. The children of Israel. The Bible says Ahaz, the king, he won over Judah. Though Israel was not strong enough to win a battle. Now think about that. Is God allowed a king that was not strong enough to fight to win? Now think about this. God can give you victory over something that's stronger than you are, and he can give you victory as you fight the devil. I'm glad you said, well, I can't fight the devil. I'm not strong enough. You don't have to be strong. Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. I'm glad we're strong when we're weak, if we trust in God. And it's not my great praying, it's not my great preaching, it's not your great singing, it's not your great doing, but praise God, it's God doing something through you. The reason you can come and praise God, hallelujah, and even though Brother Crosby is weak, he can still praise a great God and say, God's great and God's just as strong as he was when Brother Crosby was strong. You can read something on people's face. Mariana and those came in Wednesday night. I could read on their face something good had happened. And I can read when pain is there. I can read when disgust is there. I can read when hatred is there. But praise God, I can read when people lift their hands and say, hallelujah, I'm glad I can serve a great God. And I'm weak in my body, but glory to God, the inward man is renewed day by day. And we look at all the blessings of God. And so the Bible says, and the children of Israel carried away. The Bible says that they won over Judah. They carried away 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also a much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But, glory to God, look at what happens. The Bible says here, but a prophet of the Lord was there. And you know what? These people in the world, they think, we're going to get by, glory to God, I'm glad. And all of a sudden, Elijah steps on the scene. All of a sudden, Elisha comes on the scene. And all of a sudden, somebody insignificant, unimportant, unknown, unacknowledged in the world, praise God, he steps on the scene and he said, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. If you can go to someone like that and give them and say, I want to tell you something. I don't have anything to offer, but I want to tell you God says this. Boy, you'd be surprised what happens in people's lives when you confront them with the Word of God. The man went to the jail to preach, and they said that the man was cursing and swearing and so forth. And some of the people got shut up in prison until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. One of the black men woke up, and he'd been on a drunk, put in jail. He said, what y'all in here for? They said, we're in here for preaching. He said, Lord, have mercy. He started crying. He said, y'all better come turn these preachers loose. You better get God's going to punish you. God's going to kill you. He said, I'm a drunk, and I was here because I was drunk, but they're here for doing God's work. Isn't it amazing that you got to get a message from a man that's been on a drunk spree and he gets in jail? But hey, man, I'm glad when you take the Word of God, you can prevent a lot of problems and you can cause a lot of blessings to flow because God says something in His Word. And so the Bible said a prophet of the Lord was there whose name was Oded. He went out before the host that came to Samaria and said unto them, behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth or angry with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up unto heaven. Now, just think about that one verse. The Bible said, Oded said, you have come because God told you and God wanted you to bring punishment upon his people, but you overdid it. You did too much. You went farther than what you should have gone. And sometimes people do much too much damage but by doing too much. We can overdo it. We can underdo it. He said, you have touched and he has delivered them into your hand and you have slain them in a rage. I wonder how many people have mistreated their children because they did something in a rage. Now, God wants you to be stern, but God wants you to have compassion. And I'm saying, God, help me to be what I ought to be and not be the brash and not be the uncaring, the one that doesn't have love, uncompassionate. The Bible says it's a rage. And why did God allow them to go in there and to defeat the enemy? Because they had forgotten him, forsook him. And God said, I want you to take them and punish them. But Ahaz got carried away. Sometimes people get carried away with God's success. If we're not careful, we will let our success destroy us. We will let God's blessings destroy us. We will let the things of God, the things that are right, destroy us if we're not careful. And so the Bible says that reacheth unto heaven. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen until you, but are there not? Oh, wait, I want you to notice, what were they going to do with all these people they got? You say, my goodness, what do they need with all those people? I'll tell you what they're going to do with them. They were going to sell them. They were going to make money off of those people they had captured. They were going to get rich off of the people they had captured. They were going to take them. And they said, oh, you want to buy this one? Well, here's somebody 77 years old. He's not much to him. Well, I wouldn't bring him a real good price. But I find that Ashley and Chelsea and Amanda and Cody and some of these young ones, they would bring a pretty good price because they said they are more valuable. Now, I want to tell you something. We may not be very valuable to some people, but if we can transfer what we have to you, then you can be valuable to God also and to yourself. So what I'm saying, be around mamas and daddies. Be around the people that love God, and you will find when they're gone, you say, praise God, I've got something to help me to stand. Now, mom's not here to pray for me. Dad's not here to help me, but I've got somebody that will help me. And when grandma and granddaddy's gone, then you can say, well, Brother Self and Brother Cross and all those old folk are gone. You can go and say, I'll do it like I want to. No, you say, I'm going to do it like Jesus wants me to do it because they passed something worthwhile on to me, and I'm going to pass it on to my children. Now, ye purpose to keep them under bondmen and bondwomen, but are they not with you, even with you, sins? You want to get them straightened out? Is that something that you could straighten out in your own life? The reason that we have very little influence and impact on people is because of what they find in our lives. Oh, my goodness, that's what really brings me down. When they look and I say, you need to do this. And they say, well, wait a minute, how about you? Well, you're worried about you. And they will always bring back something that you've done and something that you said and something that you did and something that you want to do. But I want to tell you something. He said, if you check up, Odad said, if you check up, you will find that there are things in your life that God is not pleased with either. Do we want to be judged by the way we judge? Do we want God to deal with us the way we deal with other people? I'm afraid not. A lot of times people say, I'll tell you what I deserve. I said, no, we don't deserve better. We've gotten the best, and God's given us the best, and we're still saying that we deserve more. We deserve more. We deserve more. No, we deserve hell. If we got justice, we'd be in hell today, but glory to God. I'm glad we're going to heaven, and I'm glad we're rejoicing because God has given us something we didn't deserve and kept back from that, from us what we did deserve. And so the Bible says here, but are they not against you, with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Well, I tell you what, it's against my neighbor. No, it's against God. The Bible said, if you love not your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? How can a person be right with God and wrong with their neighbor? How can a person be right with God when they're wrong with their boss man? How can they be right with God when they're wrong with everybody in the world? God said, if you check up, Odad said, if you check up, you will find that there are sins in your life that's against God also. Now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again which ye have taken captive of your brethren. I want you to deliver. I want you to give back those people that you captured. Glory to God. I'm glad God walked up to the devil and God said, I want you to give back those people that you took captive. And I'm glad, hallelujah. I walked out a free man, hallelujah, because God said, let him go, hallelujah. And Jesus said, let him go free. He lifted me out of the miry clay, the horrible pit, and established my goal and put my feet upon the solid rock. And I'm glad he established me and gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. And he said, I want you to let him go, hallelujah. And I'm glad. Look at what happened. He said, deliver the captives again, and which ye have taken captive of your brethren. For the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. If you don't turn loose, I'm going to turn God loose on you. If you don't get right with God, I'm going to turn God loose on you. I see what God can do. You know, God loves and God does in a compassionate way. And I'm glad God places within our heart a compassionate heart to serve Him and glorify His name. Then certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah, the son of Johanan, Berechiah, the son of Meshillemoth, and Zahikah, the son of Shalom, and Amasa, the son of Hadath. He said, stood up against them that came from the war. These are the men. Notice, look at these men. They have unusual names, but they were sent for an unusual job. The Bible says that they came and stood up against Ahaz and said, I want you to turn these people loose. And said unto them, ye shall not bring, you are not going to bring these captives hither, for whereas we have offended, for we have, notice that word, we have offended against the Lord already. Ye intend to add more to our sins and our trespass, for our trespass is greater than there is fierce wrath against Israel. And I want to tell you, when I read this, verse 14, 15, and I cried, I said, my goodness, look at what happened. Can you imagine? Now, look, that picture of this. They come back with all of these people, and the Bible says, so the armed men left the captives The ones that had weapons, they left the captives. They threw down their arms. They said, look, you can have them. Why? Because Odeb said, you've got sins that you better take care of. And so the Bible says here, they said they delivered them back to these. And the Bible says they left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. Amen. I shout and praise God when I got to verse 15. And the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives and with the spoil. Hallelujah. I saw this motley looking crew, naked and scared and frightened, standing there wondering what in the world is going to happen to them when Ahaz finishes with them. And somebody stands up and says, loose. And these people say, we're going to take charge. You're not bringing them into Samaria. You're going to get rid of them. You're not going to do anything to these people. And praise God, I could just see some of you standing there. And I could see some young person standing there, some individual standing there. The Bible says they were the captives. They took the captives that were with spoil and clothed. Notice, number one, they clothed all that were naked among them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad, Brother Crosby, they brought clothes for everybody that needed clothes. They said, we got something for you. And here they were standing there trembling, maybe cold and afraid, wondering what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, here's something. And glory to God, I'm glad Jesus Christ came and put on me and you a robe of righteousness. He gave me eternal life. And I'm glad we walk out praising His name, rejoicing in the blessing of Almighty God because of a great and a holy God. Amen. Not only did He clothe all that were naked among them, and shod them. They didn't have shoes on. They put shoes on the feet. Hallelujah. This is a great turning point in the lives of these people. And the Bible says, and gave them to eat and to drink. They brought something from the table. They brought food. They brought drink. They brought something to encourage them. Hallelujah. They're standing there and they said, oh, I don't deserve this. And I thought I was going to die. But look at this. Somebody's giving me some shoes. And somebody's giving me a robe. And somebody's giving me everything I need. And I thought about the prodigal son came home. The Bible said while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, ran and fell on his neck and said, this my son was dead. He's alive. And he's come home. Hallelujah. And he said, get him some shoes and get him a robe and get him a ring and get him a calf. We're going to have a feast. Glory to God. I'm glad, amen, that God does it like that. And the Bible said it, and they anointed them. Praise God. I tell you what, these folks, when they were captured and taken toward this Samaria, they said, I don't know what's going to happen. And honey, I don't know whether I'll ever see you again. And I don't know. And they're going around among the children and all the people that I wonder and know they're trying to hold them together. And hallelujah, all of a sudden they step out on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. And I'm glad there's a man standing in there. Some people said, don't you bring those people in here. You give them something to eat. You give them something to wear. You give them something to look forward to. You put those families back together. Moms and dads, you can imagine, glory to God, they're grabbing the children, putting them to, hallelujah, we've got them back together again. Hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, for what God has done in my soul and in my heart. Amen. The Bible said, gave them and carried and anointed them. And I like this. Saw Brother Crosby sitting over there. He's feeble. And Brother Self not having pain, he said, in the other night in his hip and all that stuff. And so they could hardly walk and didn't feel like even walking. Glory to God. And the Bible said, and all the feeble upon, they put them upon the donkeys. They put them on the asses so they could ride. So they didn't even have to walk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You talk about it gets gooder and gooder as they see the blessings and the glory of Almighty God. And the closer home we get, Brother Crosby, the better it looks. Hallelujah. I'm glad, glory to God, there'll be somebody waiting to carry us across Chile, Jordan, and I'm glad He'll be waiting there for us, hallelujah, because He's amazed. He's an amazing God. Amen. And brought them to Jericho and the city of palm trees to their brethren, and then they returned to Samaria. I want you to notice something quickly. Ahaz won over Judah, though Israel was weak. Judah was a loser. We find that Judah lost because they had forsaken God. And any time a person forsakes God, it doesn't matter whether it's a group of folks, it doesn't matter whether it's a young person or an old person, any time people forsake God, the Bible tells us that they will suffer something else. Israel did not win because they were righteous. They beat Judah, but they did not win because they were righteous. They said, boy, look what we did. We got these captives. No, they did not win because they were good. Those lost because they had forsaken God. Remember that. Ahaz was able to overcome because God allowed it. And trouble comes when we allow the wicked to do two things. Why are we in trouble today? I'll tell you, number one, because we make our enemies our pattern. Think about it. We make our enemies our pattern, and that causes a lot of trouble. We get out here in the world, I'm going to be a friend of this person. And the next thing you know, they're our enemies, and they become our pattern. We begin to do like them. We begin to follow their God. We begin to bow down to their images. We begin to offer our sacrifices unto Balaam. But number two, not only do they become our pattern, but they become our partners. And a lot of folk have gotten in trouble by choosing the wrong partner. And when you choose a partner that loves Balaam and loves sin and loves ungodliness, you are asking for trouble for both of you. It doesn't matter what we say and how we think. Oh, I tell you, I can control this, but I say this. We find that trouble comes when the wicked are allowed to be our pattern and our partners. And I want you to notice, and I'm going to mention five things quickly, and you want to write them down. I'll go back over them. It's five things. Number one, punishment was necessary for Judah. Don't ever think that we don't need punishment and we need instruction. And don't think that the preacher is above correction. So many times I find when I'm trying to help someone else that if I'm not careful, I will look at their problem and forget what I need to do myself. And so God have mercy on people that can always see what's wrong with everybody and don't know what's wrong with themselves. And the reason the people and the world does not come to know Christ many times is because we don't set a good example for them to follow. And they become partners in sin. They become partners in iniquity and in the things of the world. So punishment is necessary and God allowed it. Number two, punishment was excessive. And that was unnecessary. It's all right to whip a child. It's all right to correct a child. It's all right to discipline a child. But don't overdo it. The Bible said, provoke not your children to wrath. You can provoke your children to wrath by overdoing something. But I'm talking about having some guidelines and some discipline and say, this is where we want to walk. And I want you to know, and Brother Williamson came by the other day, and he said, I won't be here on Monday night. He said, I promised my son I would take him fishing, and I don't want to disappoint him. I said, glory to God, I think you're doing the right thing. You cannot make somebody love God, and you cannot make them love or hate someone. They will love who they want to, but I will say this, give them some guidelines, but don't be excessive. Don't be nagging all the time. I mean, nagging once or twice a day, but not over that. And so say something once or twice, maybe in a month time. But I'm saying here, punishment was excessive. Then I want you to notice number three, punishment was evident. When you mistreat someone, you can find it out pretty quick. You can find people use something that they can. They say, my goodness, I wouldn't want to be that dad's son, that person's dad's son or daughter. I wouldn't want to belong to that family. I'm going to change my name. It's evident that some folk are embarrassed with their parents. It's evident that some people are embarrassed with their children. It's evident that somebody's embarrassed with their neighbors. But we find that the punishment was evident. Number four, punishment had a purpose. Have a purpose when you punish. Punishment had a purpose. And then I want you to notice something else. This is something really important. Number five, punishment fell on Ahaz. Now, what happened? Look at Ahaz. And I'll close with this. When Ahaz went out and brought these people back and he didn't realize that he had something that he needed to take care of, he said, I'm home free. God, let me punish these people. And I'm happy that they punished. And I'm happy that they're going to suffer. And I'm happy that they don't have clothes. I'm happy that they're separated. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, and you read the rest of the chapter, you'll find that God's judgment fell on Ahaz. God brought judgment on Ahaz, and boy, I wonder how it felt then. We want mercy when it's dealing with us, but we show little mercy many times in dealing with others. And I know some of you do, and I say that that's good, but let's temper it with compassion. Look at what God has done for us, and thank God for what He wants to do for us. And so the Bible says, and when I read that, I cried. I said, praise God. See those people standing there, scared to death, wondering what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, somebody stands up for them and said, you're going to lead them right here. And they got clothes for them and food for them and anointed them and took them. And hallelujah, they took care of them. So you find in the rest of that chapter that judgment fell on Ahaz. Don't get too cocky when you see somebody. I'll tell you what, them, I know God. I knew God. I knew God was going to punish them. And I asked the lady one a while back, I said, what are you going to do when God punishes you? I knew they wasn't going to get by with that. I knew. Oh, yes. I say, they're going to suffer because I know it. They mistreated me. No, they mistreat God. And God can take care of that. But I say today, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God calls us and God gave us something? And if you're not walking with Him today, you're cheating yourself. Trust in Him. Walk with Him today. And I believe God will bless you as you look to Him. Let us pray. Father, I thank You today for the love You've shown toward us, the punishment we deserved, but I'm glad Jesus took our punishment. And I'm glad we can confess our sins, hallelujah, and we can forsake our sins. And I'm glad we can have forgiveness. And I'm glad we've been clothed with righteousness and clothed with a robe and shoes and have food on our table and think about the blessings of God. And yet many people today in some countries are godly people and they're suffering. They have no food. They have no clothes. They have nothing. Have no shelter. But dear God, I pray that You'd bless them. And I pray for Jerusalem. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love Thee. Oh God, we say they're suffering because they forgot You. But one day, hallelujah, they're going to recognize who You are. They're going to realize who You are. And they, even the people are going to want to be a Jew. The Bible says they're going to desire to be a Jew. So we've heard the Lord is with you. Hallelujah. We've heard that God is with you, and we want to be one of them. And God, I pray that when we face the world, that we will have people that will look and say, I want what You have. I want the God that You serve. And I pray that You bless it for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.